Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. When federal and state officials enacted a number of emergency laws in response to the pandemic this past spring to, among other things, enhance unemployment insurance benefits and limit the ability of landlords to evict tenants, there was a hope and expectation that the pandemic and the need for the laws would have subsided by now as people got back to something resembling normal life. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Unlike many other countries in which the national government took strong steps to control the virus, the U.S. has largely left the matter up to state and local governments, and as a result, the crisis remains acute. So what should law and policymakers do now? Earlier this week, I got a chance to ask that question of one of North Carolina's most experienced anti-poverty attorneys, Bill Rowe of the North Carolina Justice Center. And as Rowe explained, now is no time for our leaders to retreat from taking strong action to keep families and the broader economy afloat. Well, Bill Rowe, welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
So these are, of course, extraordinary times, and you have for a long time specialized in issues of unemployment and housing, access to housing, which are two of the biggest problems right now as the American and North Carolina economies continue just to sort of list along in very poor shape. Is it safe to say that we remain in a crisis mode, really, in both of those areas? Is that fair to say?
Oh my gosh, yes. Probably the greatest crisis that the country has ever seen in terms of, since the Great Depression anyways, for people being out of work and having to rely on unemployment insurance. I mean, I don't think North Carolina has ever seen the numbers it's seeing now, ever, possibly, in its history. And an incredible housing affordability crisis that we've been facing for decades has just been made worse because people aren't working. They don't have the incomes coming in. So there's a tremendous meeting here of income and money and where do I stay in the middle of a health crisis where people should be trying to stay home. And those people who are vulnerable to COVID-19 definitely need to have a place to stay.
Yeah, let's talk about the unemployment stuff first. There have been close to 2 million claims filed for unemployment benefits, and it may have now surpassed that between March 15th and the end of July. Do we have a sense that the unemployment system is sort of caught up a little bit with the demand in North Carolina? It was so overwhelmed initially because the number of claims was just so unprecedented. Do we have a sense maybe they've kind of caught up a little bit with just processing all these millions of claims that people are filing?
It appears that they have caught up. They've gotten the backlog figured out, and it was just such a demand. And, you know, the one thing about unemployment insurance systems, when there's good times, which was arguably before March 13th or so, whenever the executive order was that created a state of emergency or said there was a state of emergency, our unemployment rate was low. So when it's low, the Division of Employment Security gets very few resources because they don't have a lot of work to do. Well, in a matter of a few days, they had an overwhelming number of cases coming in. And so it's taken a while, and people have really struggled, I think, in the last 2 or 3 months to get by. But it appears that DES has gotten through the backlog. Now, there is one number that gives us some concern, and that is there's probably more than a quarter of a million people who have been found ineligible for benefits, and we don't know exactly why or what the reasons are, but that's still 250,000 people who needed help, tried to get help, and they've been denied. And that's a number that's out there now. But people have gotten their decisions, and it appears that the backlog has been dealt with. Now it's trying to make sure that people have been denied. Why were they denied? But that's the least of the problems, because we'll probably talk about this, but the federal assistance that was coming for people ended this past week.
Yeah, let's talk about that. As we record this, we've just come to the end of the federal supplement, and that was so critically important in North Carolina, this extra $600 payment, because North Carolina's unemployment insurance system is basically one of the least generous in the country in terms of the amount of benefits that people are able to qualify for. And so this federal supplement clearly was allowing a lot of people to get by. And now, as we record this, it looks like it's may not be renewed in the form that it was.
Well, that's correct. And the CARES Act provided a $600 a week federal supplement to the state unemployment insurance benefits. And I think Congress recognized back in, I guess that was the end of March or so, early April, that a lot of the state programs were not going to be able to provide the resources to people to weather this downturn and to pay the rent or pay their mortgages or keep their utilities on or take care of their needs. And so there was this $600 a week with a sunset for North Carolina. It sunsetted July 25th. And I think the idea was then, well, we'll see where we are with this pandemic and things will get better by then. Mm-hmm. And I think we have now shown, the history has shown, and the current situation has shown, things are not better. And in some ways, more people may be out of work soon. But the $600 a week has gone away. And that puts us in a really bad spot because some states like North Carolina pay very few in benefits. And our average is around $274 a week. And for a family to try to exist on that is going to be really difficult. And we've heard from lots of people who are saying this was a lifeline for them to be able to get through this incredible period. But more, and not just about the families and their struggles, but the economy. We're talking about over $300 million a week was coming into North Carolina. And as we all know, and studies have shown, unemployment insurance benefits, people don't put that in the bank or invest it in the stock market. They're out there spending it in the economy. And so I think you'll find economists from the right and the left who are saying we need to have something replacing or extending the $600 a week because the economy depends on it as well. And all those small businesses that may have tried to reopen, they're going to find trouble if they don't have customers and consumers who have some resources to go out and spend money.
The talk right now is that perhaps it might be renewed, but maybe at a much reduced level. So that figures to dramatically impact people in North Carolina. And another area, in addition to just general commerce and grocery stores and all the other places that people spend their money, people aren't going to be able to pay their rent, right? And we already know that a lot of people are struggling to pay their rent, that is, we're facing a huge housing crisis, as you've already previously alluded to, and it's this pandemic is making it significantly worse.
Well, that's right. And the one thing the pandemic and the end of the unemployment insurance or a reduction has shown is that landlords and tenants' interests are joined here. And landlords, if they can't collect rent, can't stay in business very long. And tenants need some help during this period so they can stay in their places. And there's many people who don't qualify for unemployment insurance or are behind for whatever reason, or when they were laid off and how they were decided by DES what they might receive. But the problem is right now is that there was a moratorium for some period of time, but evictions have started back up in North Carolina last month. And we don't know what the numbers are going to be. We feel like we're right on the precipice of seeing if this is going to be a crisis beyond imagination. But I think most people around the state, and if you go and talk to people in communities and talk to landlords, they're concerned, they're worried, and they want to work with tenants, but they need resources. And so it's one place where we've all come together to understand that there needs to be some assistance. And the CARES Act had a little bit of money for that. They had it to the state and to federal government, state and local governments. Mm-hmm. And we were hopeful that the state legislature might deploy some resources to help there, but they did not this past session. And so a lot of the help, if there's any in communities, is coming from the local governments, if they have resources to do it. So you can only imagine that those places with the least amount of resources are offering very little help to people right now when they most need it.
Yeah, the issue of eviction sort of raises this obvious catch-22. You can sort of understand from a landlord's perspective, this tenant is not paying me any rent. I'm going to have to evict them and tell them to move out or use it as a way to get them to try to pay rent. But if the tenant doesn't have any money and there isn't anybody out there that can come in and take over the apartment because so many people are hurting, it's not as if evictions are necessarily going to be a problem solver for the landlord community either. That without an infusion of money, it's a catch-22.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a business model made on the idea that people have income and they ought to pay, and if they're somehow defaulting on their payments, they're not going to be able to have a house or an apartment, and then someone else will come back in behind them and provide the rent and be able to live there. The problem is now with this, I don't know if you evict people, I'm not so sure how that, having evictions helps the landlords, because I'm not so sure who's going to, like you said, who's going to be coming back behind them to rent because there's just a problem across the state in that level.
Not to mention the fact, of course, that homelessness and then more people crowding into spaces is just a recipe for further spread of the virus.
Well, that's right. And that's one of the other things that I think has not, I mean, the unemployment insurance ending that was in the CARES Act is a tremendous problem. You know, the HEROES Act that was passed by the U.S. House more than 2 months ago included a lot of things. But one thing it did for housing, it included a fair amount of resources to help with emergency rental assistance, to help with homeless assistance programs, and also to help with Section 8 vouchers. And there's nothing right now in the program that's been put forward by the Senate majority doesn't have anything in there about housing. So I think that's a big point of contention that's going to have to get discussed, too. And one of the sleepers in all of this is around Section 8 vouchers. And the way those work is somebody has a voucher that helps pay their rent, but if they lose their income, they can get that assistance increased to the landlord so that they don't have the income coming in. So it's usually based on 30% of their income, and then they pay, and then the rent gets subsidized in between. Well, with all these people with vouchers and they're not working and their income's gone down, that puts a tremendous strain on the voucher system of they're not going to have enough resources to be able to continue. And so that's another piece of this puzzle. It's even those lucky people who have assistance, we may be seeing a strain on that because of the demand. And I think the HEROES Act called for some assistance to plug that. But that had a good, I think, comprehensive, robust scheme of trying to deal with this crisis on the housing side. And we're not seeing that right now coming from the Senate plan that's been put out this week.
So we're coming to the end of our time with Bill Rowe, who's the general counsel and director of advocacy for the North Carolina Justice Center. Bill, so what happens next? What should Congress be doing? What should the General Assembly be doing? Is it something along the lines of this HEROES Act that the U.S. House passed? Is that the kind of approach we should be taking to try and get ourselves through these next few months?
Well, that's what I think, and I think a lot of folks think that, too, and that's the negotiations going on in Washington. They just need to happen and be done in a much faster way than it can be done, that's being done right now. So, yes, I think we need to see Congress act, and then after they do, the legislature ought to take stock of what has happened and try to either fill the void or deploy those resources in the right way across the state.
Well, we know that you'll be there watching them very closely, speaking up for people in need. We thank you so much for the work you do. And boy, next time we chat, maybe we'll have some better news to discuss. But thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news about COVID-19 at the State Department of Health and Human Services website, ncdhhs.gov. You can also check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. Please stay home, stay safe as best you can. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.